music, women, plucking, on ukuleles. In a musical comedy adventure for ears only.
Two lives.
True lives.
Where music and comedy intertwine.
Who says women can't have it all? This is Sparrow Folk.
Sparrow Folk. Adventures in Suburbia.
In our last chapter, Fox and Lark were performing their first ever gig for the underwhelmed audience at the Cat and Cabbage.
When Lark gave birth live on stage. But somehow, this got them an even better gig.
Oh, you, my little love lamb, will be headlining the Strums in the Sun Music Festival Gala.
Oh my God!
And with Lark's husband Magnus as their manager.
How bad could it be?
Let's find out in Chapter 2 of
Sparrow Folk, Adventures in Suburbia.
Fox stood at her wardrobe, nervously surveying her options, when the doorbell rang. She ran to answer it.
I'm coming. I'm coming. Fox opened the door to find Lark fast asleep against the doorbell, with bright-eyed baby Janie strapped to her chest. Lark! Lark!
The bells!
Lark jerked upright, suddenly awake and only slightly drooling. You were asleep on the doorbell.
Just resting, not tired. Baby, I'm fine.
Oh, Larky. Come in. Hello, Janie baby.
Fox grabbed the exhausted Lark in a bear hug.
You did it, Lark! We're headlining a festival!
Lark squeezed Fox back, buoyed by Fox's joy.
Everything's working out. You got us a gig, you got us a festival, you had a baby. I'm having a baby.
A what now?
Lark was suddenly wide awake.
When? How? Why? When? How long was I asleep?
Well, I have a date, so it won't be long. When I saw your beautiful Janie, I just knew what was missing.
To Lark, it was obvious the thing that Fox was missing was a grasp on reality. Did you just see me fall asleep on your doorbell?
Ah, I thought you were just resting.
You will never not be tired again.
You have three children, silly. I'm only going to have one. Now, help me choose what to wear.
Oh, okay.
As Lark stumbled up the stairs, she regretted her choice to come out just 3 days after Janie's birth. Her hips felt like rubber bands and her bladder was twitchy. But friendship was friendship. Now, which one should I wear? This one?
A beige jumpsuit.
Or this one?
A second beige jumpsuit.
Lark, this is timeless style. Thank you very much. Lark! Lark!
Bells, huh?
Have you gone to sleep standing up?
If I did fall asleep, it's because your whole outfit looks like you sewed all my grandma's undies together.
Lark!
Fortunately, I have brought you the perfect outfit.
From somewhere deep within the limitless storage that only a mother of three possesses, Lark pulled a crimson, low-cut, backless, ultra-short, vinyl, venereal disease of a dress.
Ta-da!
I'm going to ask Mum. Mum!
She's still living here.
Fox's mother, Ruth, had come to stay with Fox for a fortnight when she'd hurt her ankle, but was still living there 18 months later.
I thought she was moving back to her house.
Well, she gets lonely and I...
Totally failed to raise the issue with her?
Yes.
Lark? Ruth? Fox's eyes flicked desperately from her best friend to her mother, who was smiling at each other like sewer rats.
In my day, we didn't drag newborns out of their safe, warm homes, Lark.
Mum!
Is that because you were too busy dragging Christians to the lions, Ruth?
Lark, put the ukulele back in the baby bag.
Fine.
What do you want, Foxy?
I need something to wear. Which outfit do you like?
Goodness, darling, that looks like Nana's knickers.
Wise words, Ruth.
Although, the other outfit does make you look like an angry boil. Which one will attract the kind of man who wants a bundle of joy?
See, Lark?
To destroy his sex life, social life, sleep...
See, Fox?
Golf time...
Okay, thanks, Mum. Bye now.
If financial security.
Bye, Mum.
Anytime, darling.
Ugh.
So who's this guy you've planned the rest of your life with, Foxy?
Gary from work. In accounts. I'm going to tell him I need help with a square root problem.
And then see if he wants to excel in the sheets.
Once he's checked out my dividends.
Whoa. Once he's checked out, does he even know he's going on a date?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to have a baby. Lark was resting again. But this time it was face down on the bed, baby Janie sandwiched solidly between Lark and the doona. Fox thumped her on the shoulder. Lark!
Flirty shoulder hand.
Huh?
Flirty shoulder hand. You need to show Gary a bit of inner rest.
Are you still asleep? You're not making any sense.
Your inner rest. It's the only bit of us that never ages. Look, feel that. Just like Paul Rudd. Loosen the cuff on your shirt.
Cuff? Shirt.
I'll show you the shoulder hand flirt.
Shoulder hand flirt.
Extend your wrist and spread your hand.
Uh-huh.
It's how you really tease a man.
Ooh.
You don't need style, don't need grace, just a flirty hand in the right place. If you want some masculine attention,
oh yes, please.
Time for flirty shoulder hand action.
Mm-hmm.
Win him over with a digit distraction. With your flirty shoulder hand action.
Flirty shoulder hand action. Ooh.
Good morning, Sunshine Manners. How can I help you?
Good morning, residents. Just a quick reminder that Flex and Fun with Franny will start in the Reginald Rufus room in 15 minutes.
Neville Dentata sat in his office at his place of employment, the Sunshine Manor Retirement Village.
Already today, he'd sorted the roster, negotiated a menu change, helped Maurice understand his home care package, and averted a crisis when he caught Jill about to order 10,000 litres of bleach instead of 10.
So now he took some Neville time to stare out the window, pining for Fox.
Oh, Fox, your voice, your hair, your spangly, spangly top. That way you wiped afterbirth onto it. What am I doing?
Hopefully the care roster for next week.
Arlene, you surprised me.
I don't want Justine this time, Nev. She rushes me.
No, I fixed that.
Although Neville was not supposed to have favourites amongst the residents, the favourite he didn't have was Arlene. She was whip-smart and often gave him the gossip he needed to help keep the place running.
Neville, pet, you seem a bit distracted. You okay?
Oh, I'm okay. You're sweet to ask.
Is it the ladies, pet? I never see you with anyone.
That's because this is my place of work, Arlene, and I have professional boundaries.
Can I give you a word of advice, Nev?
I'd prefer you didn't.
You're never going to meet anyone your own age if all you do is go to your bonsai club and hang out here.
Arlene's words slipped straight past his Sunshine Manor name tag and into his heart. She was right. He was trapped in a bubble of miniature trees and elderly Australians.
Well, I tried going to the Cat and Cabbage.
Lordy Mordy, who were you hoping to meet there? Bruce the truckie? You have to cast your line where the fish are.
I'm allergic to fish.
Maybe you could try the Flirtle app. My grandchild met their husband with it, but it's for cisgender straight people too, you know.
Neville looked thoughtful as Arlene trotted off to flex and fun with Franny.
Flirtle, hey?
Fox sat quietly at her work desk.
She kept an eye over the cubicle divider, waiting for Gary Roberts to approach. At just the right moment, she rolled back in her chair and spun around to face him.
Oh, hi, Gary.
Hi. Fox, right?
Such a coincidence. I was just about to ask you if you could spare a moment.
Fox breathed deeply, swelling her bosom toward Gary, inadvertently revealing a crumb of toast lodged in her cleavage.
Can you spare a moment?
Sure.
And so Gary came and stood close to Fox, leaning into her as she posed questions about the spreadsheet she'd created that morning for this very purpose. And that's when it all went wrong.
I
was working at my desk with Gary Roberts from accounts, entering various amounts, mistakenly made his heart pounce. I was entering a four, brushed his bits with my paw. I'm not the office whore.
Accidental genital attention. Office politics take another dimension.
Whoa.
Hit with sexual harassment intervention.
Whoa.
Accidental genital attention.
Fox blushed crimson from head to toe.
I'm so sorry, Gary. I would never. I didn't mean to.
I'm talking to the manager.
Wait, Gary. I believe in respectful relationships.
I'm talking to the manager.
Let's talk about it. Maybe over dinner?
In the park outside Fox's office, Lark waited impatiently as she rocked Janie in her pram. This find a baby daddy caper was just the thing she needed to distract herself from the memory of Duncan looking up her clacker.
Finally, Fox hurried out the revolving door, her face as red and shiny as the dress Lark had found for her. Fox! Fox!
Oh, Lark.
Is Gary going to balance your books?
It was a disaster.
So no double entry.
I might not even keep my job. I accidentally ding-donged his whoop-whoop and he... and I...
Lark was impressed. This was a new level, even for Fox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Give me your phone.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Don't worry, Foxy. While you were ding-donging his whoop-whoop, I was setting you up on this.
Flirtle.
Ew. What is Flirtle?
It's a new dating app. I made you a profile no man could resist.
Huh? Why does it say I like leather and bonsai?
See? You're intrigued, aren't you? Plus, men love the way teeny tiny trees make them look bigger.
What? But I haven't free soloed Kilimanjaro.
Blah, blah, aspirational. Now just start swiping right. Yes to this guy. Oh, and this guy. Pow! Zap! Zam!
Hey, shouldn't I be doing that?
No. Leave it to me. We need to cast a wide net.
As Fox desperately tried to regain possession of her personal relationship choices and her phone, Neville quietly panicked under his desk.
Fox didn't want you? Nobody else will want you. They might, Neville. No, that's why your phone is silent. You're a silly, silly... Billy Neville Dentata. Just to leave Flirtle and live with yourself. Okay, fine, I will. But it's my choice, not yours. Wait, maybe you set your phone to silent. I think I did. What have I missed? Oh, no, it was on. Nothing, hey? Loser. At least Arlene likes me. Oof! Oh, thanks, Arlene. I just dropped my phone.
Neville hastily retrieved his phone and opened Flirtle. His face was bathed in the glow of the screen as he crouched, golem-like, under the desk.
One new match. I'm matched with... Fox!
Neville's heart filled with joy as he swiped through his beloved's profile.
Whoa. She likes bonsais too. Wait. And leather?
Kids! Toast ready!
In many ways, Lark's life was really very normal. At least when she wasn't giving birth on stage or helping her bestie trap men into fatherhood.
Kids!
Magnus entered with a sookie Janie.
Someone wants a booby.
Really? It better not be you.
If I could breastfeed her for you, you know I would.
Lark knew this was entirely true. She also suspected he'd secretly tried.
Kids! Breakfast! Now!
Lark, I've made a decision. Now I'm your manager, we really should focus on your, you know, blinky blonky blanky blinky blue.
Lark felt a hot wave of dread creep across her chest. then realised it was just Janie's nappy leaking.
Magnus, I'm a little concerned you think you are our manager.
Kids!
But
I know I said that to Giovanni, but it was a spur of the covered in baby vomit moment thing. I didn't actually...
I'll be a great manager.
Magnus, love, Fox and I are only just working all this out ourselves. It's a big shift for us. What are they doing? Kids!
Keeping Janie firmly clamped to her left boob, Lark hurried into the lounge room. The sofa looked like it had been slammed by Thor's hammer.
Michael?
Michael and Elliot were the picture of innocence, colouring in quietly and intently near the window.
Elliot?
It was only Michael trying to colour in with a matchbox car that gave away they were quietly shitting themselves with fear.
Michael!
Lark stared with simmering rage at the sofa, her peaceful morning well and truly shot to shit.
Great. Now I need a manager and a new sofa.
Love Lamb, you have a manager, and I will manage a solution for the broken sofa, I promise.
Really?
Really.
Magnus wrapped his arms around Lark and snuggled her close. Lark leaned into his warmth.
I don't know, Magnus. Sparrowfolk used to just be about Fox and me having fun together. Maybe we're biting off more than we can chew. New baby, new sofa, new gigs. Is it all too much?
Don't you worry. I'm here for you. 100%.
Thanks, Magnus.
As Lark and Magnus tried to manoeuvre their splintered sofa out into the shed, Fox returned home to find an Arctic winter had descended.
Mum, I'm home!
The angry and deliberate sounds of dishwashing, along with many years spent dealing with Ruth, led Fox to believe her mother may be a teeny bit upset.
Mum, everything okay, Mum?
It didn't work out with Gary.
Oh, darling, you poor, poor thing. Let me get these gloves off and I'll pour you a gin.
Fox collapsed at the table as Ruth, hiding her smirk, retrieved the third best gin from under the sink. She poured two stiff shots.
Oh, Mum, I just want a baby.
I know, dear. I know. Never mind. Well, it's over now.
It was only my first try.
Well, I suppose we could convert the laundry to a nursery. The spin cycle could be quite soothing for a baby.
Or maybe the baby could have your room.
But where would I sleep?
Back in your house.
Ruth sucked back a shot like a sailor on his first night of shore leave, then immediately necked the second.
Wasn't that gin for me?
I thought you were having a baby.
Ruth petulantly turned her face from Fox as if to say, I can't talk to you. Then she dramatically waved her hand across the table in an accidentally knock the glasses off the table and smash onto the floor kind of way.
Whoops. Must be my old age. Spasm.
Oh, that's just silly. Aren't you going to clean that up?
I'll try. Oh, dear Foxy, I just can't reach it. My poor old spine, oh.
Even though deep down, Fox knew Ruth taught the boy who cried wolf everything he knew, Ruth also knew Fox would never risk not helping her mother if she needed it. So she played on her heartstrings like a Stradivarius.
Oh. Mum, are you okay?
I'm just glad I'm here with you.
Several hours and many sarcastic comments later, Fox had extricated herself from Ruth's clutches. She waited nervously at the restaurant for her date.
Her veneer of casual anxiety was shattered by a hissing noise coming from behind a large pot plant.
Psst! Over here! Lark! What are you doing here?
Lark, her breastfeeding top and leggings more than slightly clashing with the general horreur of the restaurant, slipped out and joined Fox at the table.
I see you chose my dress. Very wise.
Go away. I'm supposed to be on a date.
Let's go over the game plan. Show me his profile.
Oh, his name's Neville.
Ah, another bonsai fancier.
I'm not a bonsai.
He looks familiar. Do I know
him?
You swiped right on him earlier?
Yeah, but I wasn't looking.
What if he looked me up and decided I wasn't the future mother of his children?
Not a chance. Look, if you're worried, practice.
Practice what?
Practice flirting with that spunky waiter. Yoo-hoo!
Lark signalled furiously to the maitre d', then melted back behind the pot plant.
Remember, flirty shoulder.
Huh?
But Lark was gone.
May I help you, madame?
Hi. Could you show me your specials?
And so the maitre d' came and stood close to Fox, leaning over her as he offered her the menu. And that's when it all went wrong again.
Visiting my favourite dining venue. Steve came over with a menu. I went to point at item 4.
What I touched was so much more.
I was ordering cake, a fine motor mistake. Didn't mean to touch your snake.
Accidental genital attention. Hummingbird cake was my intention. Taking tipping to another dimension. Accidental genital attention.
I'm sorry, I'm really sorry.
Dog, come back.
Why are you throwing me out?
You touched my plant, okay. And she touched my pants. You're no longer welcome at a sirloin.
Lark turned to Fox. She grinned and shrugged as they started walking through the streetlight together.
Lark, am I ever going to have a baby?
Meanwhile, 150 metres behind them, Neville Dentata was squeaking uncomfortably in his new leather slacks. He gulped as he pushed open the restaurant door.
Oh, welcome to Sirloin, sir. Do you have a reservation?
The next day, Magnus idled the car in the driveway. While inside, excitement levels and blood pressure climbed as the girls wound themselves up for their big gig.
The birds are back in their spangles.
Lark looked nervously at her sequin top, the events of their last performance suddenly rushing through her head.
Actually, that's a lot of pressure! You okay, babe?
Yeah. I just forgot we gaffer taped this top back together.
Nobody will notice. Sparrow folk headlining a festival. Whee!
Wow!
Lark picked up Janie in her baby capsule and headed out the front door.
Magnus opened the back door for them with a flourish, then came to take Janie from Lark.
Thanks, Magnus.
Fox shuffled across the back seat to be next to Janie in her capsule. Lark was about to get in herself when...
Yoo-hoo!
Oh, hashtag Ava.
Ava, the Insta-perfect next-door neighbour, who was lifting canvas shopping bags overflowing with organic ingredients from her electric SUV.
Don't you two ladies look lovely? Snap for the socials? Hashtag mummies on the town!
Lark's face flushed with embarrassment.
Actually, we're working girls today, Ava.
Lark flushed even harder and tugged the sequin top over her tummy as she slid into the back seat, squeezing in next to Fox.
Oh, good of you girls to get so dressed up.
Biggest day of our lives.
That's maybe a bit much, but good of you to show such an interest, Fox.
Why wouldn't she? It's momentous.
We're momentous. Best friends forever, babe.
A woman is a teabag.
In hot water, she gets stronger.
A woman is a Duracell.
Ooh, she can last for longer. My nana died at 80, outlasted all the men. She fought the war and fed the poor.
Just soft and sweet, she's hardcore like a sparrow.
Got any more for me, Larky?
A woman is a coat hanger.
She will live
can be a tough race for a woman on her own. Look to the sky, prepare to fly. One more time now.
And a woman's not just soft and sweet, she's hardcore like a sparrow. A woman's not just soft and sweet, she's hardcore like a sparrow.
But the world around has got you down, just take off like a sparrow.
We're going to look back on today as a defining moment.
It's been 10 years, Fox. 10 years. And we're finally going to do it.
12 years of the world around.
No, 10. Fox and I started the group.
No. 12 years since we bought the sofa, remember?
Fox and Lark looked at each other in confusion.
Sofa? What's the sofa got to do with it?
Then, as Magnus hit his indicator light, the confusion turned to panic.
And why are we stopping at IKEA?
Let's go shopping.
What the mother quacking duck, Magnus?
20% off all sofas. Today only.
What about the festival? We have a gig.
You had a gig? Now you have 20% off all sofas.
You cancelled our gig to buy a stupid bloody sofa?
You said you were worried it was all too much. That you were chewing more than you should.
Call Gigman back! We can be there if we hurry!
Well, there's no way he'd take my call now. Oh, he was pretty miffed.
Fox imagined she and Lark ripping off their sequin tops and using them to strangle Magnus, then putting him in a flaming trolley and running, bare-breasted and screaming, towards the revolving doors before shoving him into the Swedish shopping paradise he so mistakenly prioritised. It turned out Lark imagined the same thing.
In reality, though, Fox hyperventilated as a silent tear ran down her cheek.
Lark patted her back and verbally castrated the devastated Magnus for the entire drive home.
The fact that Magnus had still popped in to get a Korgendorg four-seater before the drive home had not helped the situation at all.
Lark kicked Magnus and his sofa to the curb and roared up. Then roared back to give Janie to Magnus. Then roared off again. Fox and Lark retreated to the Captain Cabbage to drown their sorrows.
What'll it be, ladies?
Lemon lime and bitters, please.
Triple vodka with a whiskey chaser.
Are you breastfeeding? Because...
Triple vodka? Whiskey chaser?
Yes, ma'am.
Kev retreated to a safe distance to pour their drinks. Lark slumped on her stool.
We'll never have a decent gig with bloody Magnus as our manager.
And I'll never have strangers criticise my parenting choices like that.
A sofa sale over a gig.
Here's to your new sofa. Korgendorg.
Korgendorg. Maybe I was too hard on him. Foxy, what are we doing?
On the other side of the room, Neville Dentata went from booth to booth, table to table.
Sorry. Excuse me. Just behind you there. Oh, sorry, Bruce.
Neville scanned every seat, every face for Fox, in what he mistakenly believed to be a casual, non-creepy way.
Back at the bar, the drinks started to hit a sweet spot in the birds' brains. Sparrow Folk's natural optimism began to float back up to the surface.
Maybe we're thinking about this the wrong way.
Tell me more, strange lady.
Great and unexpected things come out of weird accidents.
Yep, that's how we got Janie.
Flushed with whiskey, Lark grinned at Fox and picked up her ukulele.
We gotta sing something tonight.
Fox grinned back.
Hey, Kev! Kev! Want to hear the story of how we met?
Not really.
We may have lost the gig, but we're still fabulous. I want to sing. Kev wants us to sing.
I do not.
Yeah, you do. Come on, Fox. Lark climbed onto the bar, somewhat awkwardly given the whiskey and the lax state of her pelvis, and offered Fox a hand up. Lark whistled for attention.
Neville's head whipped around.
Fox? Can it be true?
The bar fell silent, except for the excessive pounding of Neville's heart.
I'm Fox.
And I'm Lark. And we're
Sparrow Folk.
The room greeted them just as before, with more silence. Then it was broken by...
Hey, it's the chick with the exploding vagina.
Jesus, Duncan.
Who wants to hear how we met?
What's going on?
Bugger it! Why not? Let's hear it for the ladies.
And with that rousing recommendation, Sparrowfolk began to strum.
We met through mutual friends in the back of a Mercedes Benz. You were wearing that tight knit. I reached over and grabbed your bag. And then we went to turn right, heading out for our big night. Watching that clip on YouTube, caught off guard, so I touched your phone. Ooh, we get to the club, people dancing and having fun. We were sharing that recliner.
Your hand squished into my knee.
Getting kinda hot, really couldn't stop. Aircon was shut.
It's not very interesting, is it? No, I didn't really think so.
We're losing them.
And then we pashed.
Yeah, bring it. Oh, yeah.
We can work with that.
Accidental lesbian attention. Taking plutonic to another dimension. YouTube clip gets a lot of attention. Accidental lesbian attention. Accidental lesbian attention.
It was really accidental.
We are really heterosexual.
Nothing has ever happened since.
Probably will never happen again.
In fact, I think I just fell onto your face.
Oh, look, the footy's starting.
Fox and Lark, stunned but not surprised by how quickly they compromised to please their audience, looked across the room in despair.
You done?
Sighing, the girls clambered down from the bar and returned to their drinks. They didn't notice the starstruck Neville approaching from behind.
I don't know, Lark. You have a husband and three kids. I have my mother and no children. We're not modern feminist glamfolk goddesses. We didn't headline the festival.
We need an actual manager. One who understands the difference between music and furniture.
And I need a boyfriend.
I could be your boyfriend.
Our what?
Manager. I could be your manager. I've seen you before. You're really very good. Especially you. Fox.
Fox. It's just Fox.
In front of her, Lark saw a perspiring, doe-eyed man. But the triple vodka and whiskey chaser heard,
"You're really very good."
And after 9 months dry, the alcohol one.
Manager, eh? All right, tell me more.
Lark barely noticed how damp Neville's hand was. Fox barely noticed how he shook hers for a bit too long.
Neville. Neville Dentata. Oh my goodness, it's good to meet you.
In our next chapter, Fox and Lark make a tough decision about their future. So we've decided to make Neville our manager, right?
Fox decides to go motherhood alone.
Oh no, it's easy. I googled it. All I need is a turkey baster.
And Lark, post-baby, has a massive crisis of confidence in the bedroom.
My vagina is ruined!
Will Lark find her way back to pelvic delight?
Will Fox find her one true sperm?
And will Neville find them a gig?
Don't miss the next chapter of
Sparrowfolk Adventures in Suburbia. Suburbia.
Hello, Magnus again. I'm in a bit of a pickle with the ladies after the IKEA incident. But if you rate and review in your podcast app, maybe they won't be quite so cross. So please do rate and review. For me?
This episode was brought to you by your wardrobe wingbirds at birdsnest.com.au.
Mark, did you know you can build a wardrobe you love that's full of styles that you feel great wearing?
Bird's Nest is an Australian family-owned business based in Cooma, New South Wales. They offer a huge range of clothing from sizes 8 to 24 and make it super easy to shop with advanced filters and thousands of curated outfits.
So visit birdsnest.com.au. I do.
I do too.
It's not a competition.
Birdsnest.com.au.
Sparrowfolk Adventures in Suburbia was created by Kathy Crowley, Juliet Moody, Paul Bissett and Catherine Prosser, based on characters created by Kathy and Juliet.
All the roles were performed by Kathy and Juliet, who also wrote the music and lyrics.
Paul and Catherine produced the podcast and wrote the scripts, with additional material by Kathy and Juliet.
Catherine directed and Paul did the audio design and engineering.
Sparrowfolk Adventures in Suburbia is a Magenius production in association with Sparrowfolk and was produced on Ngunnawal land in Canberra, Australia. This podcast was supported by funding from the ACT Government through Arts ACT.
Stay in touch with us on Instagram at foxandlark or email us at thenest@sparrowfolk.com. Just remember, Sparrowfolk has a hyphen in the middle.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.